Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Our colleagues at Gothamist capture the culture and the stories in New York City, and they join us for kind of a culture cast every week. Joining us now is editorial director Jen Carlson, executive editor Jen Chung, and writer Claire Lampin. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
What do we do with Ben?
We don't know where he went.
He's gallivanting in Europe, I hear.
Oh, is he? Okay, he better bring back treats. That's all I have to say. All right, Jen Chung, here is the headline. Inside KCON New York, the convention celebrating K-pop, K-beauty, K-everything. When did this happen?
This was this past weekend at the Jacob Javits Center. So I don't know about you, Allison, but I only became acquainted with K-pop really in the past year when BTS appeared on Saturday Night Live. I spoke to people camping outside of Central Park for their Good Morning America appearance. And I sort of found myself falling into the K-pop fan universe because their music is incredibly catchy. And then also I was very fascinated by how the fan community was so strong and they were very supportive of each other. Like these, you know, adults as well as teenagers camping outside of Central Park, waiting there for days in the rain. Even fans who weren't camping out would come by and drop off supplies every day for them.
Wow. Wow. So who goes to this convention?
It's actually an incredibly diverse range of people. I went to different panels, and I would say like 2/3 of the panels I went to were black and brown women as well as Asians. And then there's like a small group of Caucasians there. So it was incredibly diverse and really heartening. And, you know, it's not just like screaming teenagers. It's actually one of the panels I went to was fans over 40 and over 30 rather. And I'm 42. So I felt like I was at the older end, but just met these amazing people. And everyone was sort of tied together with this idea that, you know, they love these groups because their music speaks to them. And also because the groups cultivate relationships with the fans by posting a lot on social media and really trying to speak to them and acknowledging their presence and their importance in what they do.
Now, I could say BTS. I would know that. I would not be able to name one other K-pop group.
There are so many. And in fact, somebody was saying there was a group named 17. And I looked at the picture of the members. There's at least 13 members in the
17.
Group.
So, you know, I'm interested in, I love K-beauty.
Oh, that's incredible.
I am a big fan of all of the K-beauty products.
Sheet masks, and there are all these amazing gadgets where it was like even too complicated for me. And I love my masking routine every so often. So I think the Korean government also sees K-pop as a way to introduce people outside of the country to their culture, to their food. There was like a whole food fair set up.
Oh, wow.
An area where people were trying on traditional Korean outfits. And, you know, there were like 55,000 people at this convention. And it was actually incredibly joyous. People were dancing. There were different areas. And so it was actually really fun.
I'm interested how people find out about it. I mean, we find out about it because we get press releases.
So I think once you start becoming a fan of K-pop, you are inundated with all this other information, and the fans keep each other sort of informed about all the events. There are even just like fan meetups outside of organized conventions like this. So it's a very close-knit, tight-knit community where people meet a lot offline as well.
Did you come home with any good swag?
I got a lot of K-beauty stuff.
What'd you get? Seriously, I love K-beauty stuff.
I got those like charcoal gel pads for under your eyes. Uh-huh. I got my daughter sheet masks that look like cats. All sorts of stuff.
Oh, wow. You get a Best Mom Ever award. I kind of like this. These are gross. I like the snail slime.
Yes, you know those? I've tried that.
Those work.
Yeah.
Those work. Ladies of a certain age know these things. Okay, Jen Carlson, you're up next. MTA also to blame for this lush green wall of poison ivy. This is terrifying. There's poison ivy invading the MTA. Where?
Yeah, so we got a tip the other day with this photo of this very lush green wall of ivy by the Pulaski Bridge in Long Island City. And the tipster was like, you know, it's definitely poison ivy, and I don't really know, but I think that the MTA owns this property. So the MTA did confirm with us that they own the property, and we just found out today that they're going to be taking down the poison ivy. So they are doing something about it.
What were they before your tip today? Yeah. What happened? It was up on the bridge? Were people, you know, getting going in contact with it? Were people calling in?
Well, it was like along Jackson Avenue. And so when you come off the bridge and start walking, there's like this stretch of sidewalk and there's a fence there that blocks it off from a lot that the MTA owns. And on the lot, it's just like this, all this kind of like wild greenery, and it started growing over into the sidewalk. So people were brushing up against it. And, you know, people who live in the buildings nearby had called like 311, which is what you're supposed to do if you see poison ivy in public. And nothing had been done about it. So they got really kind of fed up. And eventually this one person sent us a tip.
Because Gothamus gets results.
Yeah. I guess they had put up a sign at some point, and then the poison ivy engulfed the sign.
Oh, so. You know there's a problem then. I see in your, so once the growing poison ivy canopy reaches beyond 22 feet, it's the city's problem. 22 feet?
Well, that was sort of a joke because the MTA was like, well, after 22 feet, it's you know, the city owns the airspace.
No, you know what? No jokes, MTA.
Yeah.
Leave that to the Gothamist folks. So this is going to be taken care of. Do you know when? Did they give you dates?
Today.
So yeah,
actually,
WNYC reporter Stephen Nessens at an MTA presser today and asked about it, and they said we're going to get rid of it today. So we'll be checking on that MTA.
All right, you'll be following up. All right, this is part of your series, Summer Sucks. It's Claire's turn. It's summer in NYC, and the cockroaches have taken flight. The headline enough gives me the creeps. So, first of all, cockroaches fly?
Yes, they do. It is.
I guess I should know that as a New Yorker, but I didn't really.
They don't do it that often.
Okay.
So at least there's that.
What led to the story, Claire?
Well, I actually saw someone saying something about it on Reddit, and it resonated with me because I have lived this nightmare in my first New York City apartment. I watched one fly across my bedroom, and it was horrifying. But we're currently in, or I guess, ascending into peak cockroach weather. So it seemed timely to me.
So why do they fly? Do they have a purpose? Is there a reason? Otherwise, they'd be flying around all the time, I guess.
I think we can't fully know definitively, but they tend to get cockroaches because they're cold-blooded. According to the exterminator I spoke with, they tend to get extra frisky during the summer. And they mate like crazy, and they mature very rapidly, and so there are just like a lot of them around. And
you tell me cockroaches are having summer flings?
It was romantic season for cockroaches is how he put it. But they're just hyperactive when it gets about 90 degrees 85 90 degrees. So sometimes they might, the American cockroach, which we call the water bug, also can fly. It can flap its wings and take flight. It might just do that because extra activity or it's disturbed. The German cockroach, which is more common and smaller, mercifully smaller, can't really use its wings that way, and it'll glide down from a high elevation to a low elevation, maybe to find cooler temperatures, maybe just for fun.
For kicks. For cockroach kicks.
We don't know.
So, what should I do as someone who, if I have flying cockroaches in my home, Buddhists, please don't tweet at us.
If you see a flying cockroach, because it is still fairly rare, that probably means that you have a bunch of cockroaches where that came from, and you should call someone to help you with that problem.
Okay. So, Jen Carlson, I meant to tell you, I got a on my Instagram, somebody started reposting your post about how important caftans are.
Oh, yeah, they are.
It's gone viral. I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, my friends in LA are talking about how, like, they've known this.
Yeah, well, that's the caftan capital.
All right. When is Caftan Day?
We haven't decided yet.
Oh, are you going to do
every day?
I'm in.
Yeah.
You know I'm in. All right, so last one. Two New York, two Jewish, the 30th anniversary of the Seinfeld Chronicles plot.
Oh, pilot.
Pilot. Oh. Pilot, thank you.
Well, I have to say that I was actually a fan of Seinfeld way back in the day because my uncle, who lived in New York, who was always so cool to me, introduced me to this, you know, stand-up comic that he had seen, and now he had a sitcom. And so I was on the Seinfeld bandwagon a while back. Ben wrote this post, but I'd actually written a review of Seinfeld for my high school newspaper, and I called my high school to try to find it in the archives of the Devil's Advocate in Basking Ridge, and they couldn't find it. But I remember it was so groundbreaking to me because these people just seemed like people in our universe versus sort of these other idealized worlds that you get through like whatever Dynasty or Beverly Hills 90210. So it was really groundbreaking in that way, that you would also have these, like, you know, more intimate friendships that were sort of showcased, and they weren't about big dramatic, you know, very special moments at the end.
30th anniversary.
Yeah, we're old.
Yeah, we're old. Well, that's a nice note to end on. Hi. Claire, Jen, and Jen from Gothamist, thank you so much for coming on in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC.